Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to continue to talk about Psalm 2 today. I've been looking at Psalm 2 in light of the spiritual battle that the church is facing today and the struggle with the broader culture. We all know it's becoming more intensely secularized and a whole new set of values emerging, and values which are inconsistent with God and God's revelation. And more leaders, and as the psalm says, the beginning of Psalm 2 goes this way. It says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? Why do these leaders plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us.'" Ended the program yesterday quoting from Pope Benedict XVI as he describes how the constant temptation of human beings, fallen human beings, is to resist God. There's a battle within all of us, and the battle is with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and there's real forces that we're up against. And human pride is a powerful thing. And historically, we know in history, many kings have set themselves against God and against his anointed, against his son Jesus. We saw, again, the Soviet Union declared itself an atheist nation and did everything it could to just destroy every vestige of Christianity in the country and Judeo-Christian revelation. Well, something is emerging in our country, in the West as well, the broader West. And what the church is experiencing now, and the reason I'm taking this up in the psalm, the great purification and trial that the church is going through right now, is I believe the Lord is preparing his bride, the Lord is preparing his church through a loving discipline and a pruning process to purify her and to strengthen her so that she's clear about who she is. She's ready to live more radically for him, that she's ready to live the whole counsel of God's word, that she's ready to proclaim it and to be a community of missionary disciples, as the phrase is often used today in the church. It's a nice phrase, but that's a radical phrase. To be a disciple of Jesus means to be dead to yourself and alive to God. To be able to walk in Jesus' footsteps, Jesus said, "Remember, if you're going to follow me, the world's going to hate you. It's going to want to kill you." And we have had the good fortune of living in a country where the founders and many of the rulers and kings, as it were, in the history of the nation, they didn't conspire and set themselves against God and against his anointed. They accepted, they cooperated. I'm not saying they were all Christians and all believers in Jesus, but they certainly respected God and nature's God. It's right there in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and our way of life in society demonstrated it for a very long time. We had great respect for marriage and family life and mores about how to handle ourselves sexually in society. We had, for most parts of the country, there was respect for the Lord's Day. Like when I was a young boy, the whole town seemed to be shut down. It was like a ghost town on Sunday. And not because everybody went to church, most people did, but because the society as a whole respected God and the things of God and the commandments of God. But we're now in a place where that's changing. And I won't go over all what Pope Benedict said, but I want to pick up where I left off yesterday. He was saying that it's easy for humanity to fall into this deception that it can suppress the truth about God and live with a kind of radical autonomy, which is fundamentally a lie, and he said, which will necessarily produce a culture of death. I'll go on. He said, "Opinion and untruth in this situation then gains domination. The entire life of a society, political as well as personal decisions, can in this way rest on a dictatorship of untruth, of how things are presented and reported instead of reality itself." He said, "An entire society can thus fall from the truth into a shared deceit, into a slavery of untruth, of not being." I mean, that's a mouthful. But what he's saying is the very thing that this psalm, Psalm 2, is the kings of the earth, and the kings of the earth at this time in our society are finding offensive the teaching of the church about human sexuality, about God, about nature and the order within nature, about the meaning of marriage, about when life begins, about what's a man and what's a woman, all these things. This has been the battlefield, the field of the sexual revolution. The whole worldview that undergirds the sexual revolution is anti-God. It's anti, at least, the Christian God, the Judeo-Christian God. And it's now become a normal way in society of looking at reality, and it's starting to develop, the society is starting to develop its own laws, and the rulers and the kings are saying yes to it and coming up with things like hate speech, which express how offended they are by the teaching of God and the teaching of the scripture. And this puts the church in a place, in a difficult place for the first time. We're stigmatized. Pressure's coming against us. And the kings of the earth are stirring more and more against the Lord. It's really, friends, rage against God. That's really what it is. It's called freedom, the rest of it. But the church is now being stigmatized as being homophobic or being hateful or being intolerant or being cold and all kinds of voices. And then here's what's getting revealed is that even in the church, voices are rising up to echo what's happening in the culture. There's a great accommodation going on in the culture. And some people do it to escape the stigma, to avoid pain, to avoid being ostracized in any way, or to be pinpointed as being accused as being a hater or something like that. And so people prefer comfort and popularity in the crowds and being happy. Even religious pastors do. Even some priests do and others. And people want to avoid it. They don't want to experience the hostility of the broader culture. But this is really the destiny of the church. It is. It's inescapable and unavoidable. And in the current climate, where so many of the powerful have thrown off the Judeo-Christian worldview, this is the way it's going to go. So that's the first stanza, you might say, of the psalm that describes the resistance of the leaders of the culture. But the next stanza is God's response, the Creator's response. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, I have set my king on Zion, my holy mountain. So the king's, God sits in the heavens and laughs. His creatures are shaking their fist at him, and he looks down, and they're just, it's so pitiful, so committed to such a vain and stupid thing set against our own nature. But this is how darkened the human mind can be, is declaring to God, the source of all truth and freedom, this is my truth and you will accept it so I can be free. And God looks down and he's shaking his head and he's laughing, saying, you fools, this is not truth, this is untruth. This is not freedom, this is slavery. This is ultimately going to destroy you. And I know because I made you. I know what I made you for. So here's the battle. And the wrath of God will come against it. And the wrath of God is what human beings experience. God's not up in heaven stomping around angry, shaking his fist. The wrath of God is what we experience when we insist on resisting his reality, on reality itself. It will come with its punishments. It has. Just like, for example, the declaration of sexual freedom and sexual liberation and against chastity and against being careful and keeping sex within marriage, right? What's the result of that? I mean, just epidemics of sexually transmitted diseases. There's a consequence that comes as a result of disobeying God and a disorder. But our blindness and our pride, which is really what's underneath it, this is not mercy and love and tolerance, friends. Underneath it all is pride. It's a rage against God. And we are offended by God because we desire something else. So we're going to create our utopia with our laws and our ways, and we're going to push God from the human horizon. It's that simple. But God said this, my king has been set. He's on his throne, and he's established the kingdom. And now it's my son is extending my mercy to the world for a time. And everybody has a choice. to say yes to God or to say no to God. There's no other way other than the kingdom of God that's going to pass beyond the final judgment of his Son. Jesus, the scripture's clear, is going to subdue God's enemies. It's coming. So it goes on. And here's now the Messiah saying, I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He's going to declare his Father's decrees. He has and he will. And he will see that all his creation comes in right order under the Father's will. He said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. It all belongs to Christ, friends. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Jesus will rule with an iron rod. Jesus is going to destroy, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and subdue all the enemies of God. Now, though, is a time of mercy. And it's a time when the church is meant to be filled with this vision and have great mercy for the world. I'm thinking of the kings of this world. Like, for example, you know, I've talked in the past about the Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too movement. You see, the judgment of God has started to come on the world. The world is going to, in its rage against the church, is going to help purify the church. Because those who aren't willing to stand with Christ are going to take off. Those who want the friendship with the world are going to turn away from Christ. And that's what needs to happen to purify the church. Jesus is coming right now to release the church from a deep stronghold that's leading the church into the confusion of the contemporary culture. And he's bringing a stop to it, I believe. Judgment begins first, the Bible says, with the household of God. The judgment is on the church, the discipline of God, and the judgment of God is about to come on the world and upon our country. It's already here. It's already begun. The judgment of God is being exposed in the Me Too movement of how the icons of the culture, Harvey Weinstein's and Bill Cosby's and Tiger Woods and others, of who everybody wants to be like, and here even the church wants what they, I want that power. I want that fame. I want these people to like me. I want rich and cool and awesome people to be in my congregation. I want to have everything that they have. But God is exposing the emptiness of it so that his church, as she's being disciplined, can see its emptiness and stop idolizing it, stop running after it like an idol. And finally, here's King David, the Lord himself, saying, now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. It's a warning, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, with trembling. Kiss his feet, lest he be angry and you perish in your way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Be wise. Is the church ready to say that with mercy and love and appeal? Be wise, kings of the earth. Are we praying for the Harvey Weinsteins and the rulers that are being exposed and that as their judgment comes? God doesn't want just to discipline them. He wants to save them because he loves them. But if the church is accommodated to the culture, the church can't win them. The church can't lead them. Friends, let's be the church and say yes and align ourselves with God's purpose. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.